Well, let us return, dear congregation, to the second chapter of the book of Ruth. And we find the words of our text in verse 14. Ruth 2, verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. We find our theme in those words contained within that text. Come thou hither. Come thou hither. Now the context of this chapter in the book of Ruth, I am sure, is well known to each one of you. Ruth, of course, was married to one of Naomi's sons. They were in the land of Moab. There she dwelt, Naomi dwelt, with her husband Elimelech. A great famine had come upon the land, we read in the first verses of chapter 1, and that they had gone into the land of Moab and spent some time there. And Ruth had taken the God of Israel to be her God. And she had taken Naomi to be her mother. And she accompanied Naomi back to Bethlehem of Judah. The house of bread had once again been blessed. And here these two widow women come back to Bethlehem. And here we have Ruth going to glean in the field. Here we have Ruth displaying what disposition? Displaying a disposition of humility. That's what we see in this chapter. She is humble before Naomi. She is humble before Boaz. She says to Boaz in our text, Why have I found grace in thine eyes? And her disposition before him was that she was bowed down to the ground. She bowed her face down to the ground. An act of humility towards Boaz, who had shown her favor. Now Boaz, in our text, invites Ruth to his table. He invites Ruth to the table of provision. He shows her favor and grace in this manner. And so as Boaz invites Ruth, so Christ invites all his beloved ones to his table. You see, Boaz is a type of Christ. Christ is the greater Boaz. You see, in verse 20, we learn something of Boaz. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Kinsmen redeemed, as it were. And Boaz, we know in the end, redeems Ruth and Naomi. And what is Christ unto his people? He is a near kinsman. He is in our nature still. In our nature, he is the Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus Christ is our greater Boaz. But also we learn that Christ was the son of Boaz. In chapter 4, we read of the genealogy of David. We read Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. We read in Matthew chapter 1. Of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So not only was Jesus Christ the greater Boaz, he was a son of Boaz. He is our near kinsman. And our text, dear saints, is more than simply a feeding of the hungry. But rather we see Boaz take an ordinary occasion and transform it for Ruth. The ordinary occasion was that stated time, that appointed time for the reapers to eat. It was a mealtime. But Boaz transformed it into something else for Ruth. You see, rather than just being an ordinary mealtime, this was a glorious demonstration of his gracious intention towards Ruth, because he knew of her. And also it was a demonstration of his compassion towards her, and a demonstration further of the bounty that he had in store for her, and also a demonstration of his acceptance of her. So it was something more. What was it? It was a picture of covenant mercy. That's what it was. Boaz was displaying something more here to Ruth. Whether Ruth saw it or not was regardless of the fact that this was something more. It was a demonstration of covenant mercy. He was willing to fulfill his covenant obligations and be unto her a near kinsman if that providence should arise in the Lord's doing. And so it is with Jesus Christ. He sets a table for his own folk. He makes for us a gracious provision. What is it? It is an act of covenant mercy to his people. It is a renewal of the covenant with us. He is telling us at his table that he is the mediator of the covenant. And by the blood of the everlasting covenant, he has ratified that covenant. And at the table, what do we have? We have the visible gospel. In the bread and the wine, the covenant is revealed to us anew. It is a holy disclosure of his mercy to us in covenant. As it was with Boaz, so it is infinitely greater with Christ. Christ gives to us all today a gracious invitation to his table. Here we hear not the voice of Boaz, come thy hither, but we hear the voice of our Redeemer, of our near kinsman Jesus Christ. He invites us to his table. He has provided a great provision for us. He invites us to avail ourselves of this gracious fellowship. And this provision that he provides for us, we will see, is a most satisfying provision of his inexhaustible grace. Hear the voice of Christ. These are words of affection to us today. I want you to look beyond by faith. Look beyond Boaz. Look to the greater Boaz. And hear the voice of Christ. Come thou hither. And what does he want us to do in those words of command? He wants us to avail ourselves of his most gracious provision. Well, let us see somewhat of the voice of Christ in these words, come thou hither. Firstly, avail yourself of this season of grace. Avail yourself of this season of grace. Look at what it says in our text. At mealtime, come thou hither. It was an appointed time, an appointed season that she was to come. She wasn't just to come at any time here, because there was a time that he had spread this provision for her. And that's what we have in this communion season. There is a time that has been appointed for us to come and meet with the one who brings to us his table. Remember, it's not our table. It's not a table that belongs to this congregation. It's not a table that belongs to our denomination. It is the Lord's table. It's his table. He brings the provision of the table to us. And remember, we see the outward elements, we taste the outward elements, our senses are exercised, but the provision therein is a spiritual provision. Therefore, it is brought by him who is spiritually present and fellowshipping with his people at his table. At mealtime, come thou hither. Now, the text also suggests to us here that Ruth knew her own unworthiness. Ruth knew that she was a stranger. She deliberately kept herself at a distance. And this is what the text conveys to us. That she knew she was unworthy to be counted among the reapers of this gentleman, of this Boaz. And do we not often feel like that ourselves? We touched somewhat on this last evening. This unworthiness, this humility that belongeth to the people of God is a mark of grace. Here we have it in Ruth. Ruth didn't think she was worthy to sit at this man's table. And yet he says to her, come thou hither. He says to her, forget of your unworthiness. My command is a worthy command for you to come. Yet, even though with regards to her felt unworthiness, yet, dear congregation, we should see here that it was her season. It was her time to come and so avail herself of this grace. And she did. She availed herself of it. She came, she sat at this table of Boaz. Now, the larger context of this season of grace must be understood. In verse 6 of chapter 1, when Naomi and Ruth hear something, what do they hear while they're in Moab? For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. The Lord had visited his people in giving them bread, giving them harvest. That land that was once a land that was suffering from famine had now had bread. Now that teaches us two things. Not only that the Lord visited his people temporally, but also spiritually. You see, the famine in the land was a covenant curse. Blessing and curse are tied to covenant with God. And God now blessed the land. That means that not only did he temporarily give the people food, but there had been a spiritual visitation of the Lord in the land because it was a matter of covenant blessing. So the Lord had visited them spiritually. That's our desire. Our desire is for a visitation of the Lord. So this mealtime was then a temporal blessing that was made possible by a gracious visitation of the Lord upon the land. And here we have a table that will be spread, God willing, tomorrow. And what makes this table possible? It's not just the bread and the wine and the visible elements, but it's a spiritual visitation. God has visited his people. God has awakened a people. That's why there will be a people who belong unto the Lord who will sit around that table. And maybe yet you haven't come to that table, but you've watched others year after year come to the table. Dear friends, the word of Christ has not changed. He says to you today, come thou hither. Another time of a spiritual visitation of the Lord. Avail yourself of this, he says. This season of grace. And we note that Boaz addresses Ruth directly. You see, because it's only Boaz that can bid her to come. And Boaz said unto her, he addresses her directly. No other man can bid you to come to the Lord's table. It will be the Lord who will bid you to come. You will hear the Lord's voice. Christ himself will speak and he will say, dear child, it is time that thou come hither unto my table. Yet, dear saints, Boaz knew more about her than she thought, and he thought more of her than she did of herself. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? He knew more about her than what she thought, and he thought more of her. How do we know this? Well, the chapter tells us this. Look at verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not my daughter?" He uses the same term of endearment that Naomi uses in verse 2 of the same chapter. And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." He would have this daughter of Israel to come hither to this table. She stood afar off from him in her unworthiness, and she thought that he would have thought not much of her. But look at what he says to her, "My daughter." He knew she was a daughter of Israel. That's why he spoke to her directly. He had heard that she had taken the God of Israel to be her God, and the people of God to be her people. Dear friends, Christ knows all about his people. He knows everything about us. He knows us better than what we know ourselves. And yet he still says to us, it's a wonder of grace. It's a wonder of grace. He knows more about our hearts. And yet he still says to us, "Come. Come thou hither and avail yourself of my grace." He would have this daughter of Israel to come hither to his table. And dear friends, the Lord provides for his people various mealtimes of grace. You know, even in our daily habitual reading of God's word, in our time of prayer, sometimes sitting under the sound of the word, and a word is said. Maybe it's just a word that is said. Maybe it is just a word that is read. Maybe it is a chapter that you have read for 50 years, 60 years. And this one time of reading, the Lord spreads a provision in this verse for you. And the verse opens up, and it's a satisfying provision of grace. He has various mealtimes of grace. And yet there's this appointed time. There's this appointed time of his table. And he says, "Come and avail yourself. Here it is before you." And dear friends, his table is rich. There's no scanty provision on the table of Christ. It is the richest table of all. It is bountiful in its provision. So avail yourself of this season of grace. But secondly, avail yourself of this gracious provision. What does he say to her? "At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." Eat of the bread. What does he say to us? "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant that is shed for you." You see Boaz here. Boaz was a most wonderful master. He acted with a deep spiritual affection toward his servants. How do we know this? Well, verse 4. When he meets his servants, he said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Boaz was not just, as it were, interested in what he could get out of his workers. He was, as it were, invested in his workers. He was concerned not only for their temporal welfare, but also their spiritual welfare. He didn't come to them and say, "Well, how is the harvest today?" No, he came and said unto them, "The Lord be with you." He blessed them spiritually. He remembered them both spiritually and temporally. Before the heat of the day's labor, he prayed for them. Verse 12, we read, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Here he prays for Ruth. As he speaks to her, he prays for her. And Boaz prayed for his laborers. He was a spiritual man. But not only did he pray for them before the day's labor, but here he sets a mealtime aside, a gracious provision in the heat of the day, in the heat of the work. The provision is made for them. He provided sustenance and rest. Dear saints, does Christ not do the same? Before and during the heat of the day, what did he say to Peter? "I have prayed for thee already." Christ, who lives in the power of an endless life, the purpose of his living is that he may pray for us. That's a remarkable thought. He ever lives. For what reason? To make intercession for us, that we would know him and his satisfying portion of grace, that he may bring us on to glory. So just as Boaz here, the greater Boaz, does for his church, he prays for his church, but also he makes a gracious provision for his church in the heat of the day. Dear saints, this is what our communion season is. It is a table spread before our enemies in the day of Christ's power. He makes a provision for us that we may be refreshed in the faith, that we may be re-galvanized, as it were, to walk in his ways. He says, "Come thou hither." Take a break from your pilgrimage in this world, from the taking up of your cross and following me. Here is where we see a visible manifestation of, as Rutherford said of Christ, that when the Christian picks up his cross and follows him, Christ carries the heaviest part. How do we know this? This provision's made for us in the heat of the day, in the heat of the battle. Let us come aside. Let us avail of this gracious provision. Not only was Boaz a most wonderful master, but Boaz was also a most generous master. He had great wealth and great bounty. Look at verse 1. He's called a mighty man of wealth. He is the Gibor, the mighty one. And in our closing psalm, Psalm 117, we'll sing of our great Gibor, the mighty one, Jesus Christ. And here is Boaz. He is this mighty one, mighty in wealth, but also mighty in generosity. He did not withhold. He didn't withhold anything from his reapers. He gave them that gracious provision. And dear Christian, it is unthinkable for us to think that Christ, in the purchase of a great bounty for us, will hold anything back. He won't. You see, we come to the table exercising the graces that belong to him, that he has already given us. And what does he do at that table? He increases his own graces within the soul of his own people. That's what he does. He holds nothing back at all. He freely and he willingly gives to his people. And no doubt, dear friends, with regards to these reapers, no doubt, like Ruth, each reaper would confess their own unworthiness in receiving such a bounty. It's what we are to do. It's what we will all do tomorrow. We will confess our own worthiness at such a bounty received. Such a bounty. Dear congregation, we wonder when we read this narrative here, we wonder if other fields looked on in admiration at the table of provision in the field of Boaz. You see, children, these fields weren't separated by big fences or big hedges. These fields would have only been separated by a line of boulders. That's how each lord knew his field, and how each reaper knew what field that they would work in and labour in. So other reapers from other fields were able to see other reapers in other fields. And we just wonder, when we consider the near kinsman who wouldn't take Ruth and Naomi on, this man who was stingy, he didn't want to redeem, he didn't want to pay the price. We read of him in chapter 4. You just wonder if his reapers in his field looked on. And they looked on at the reapers in Boaz's field, and they could see themselves this great bounty, this table that was provided at mealtime for the reapers of Boaz. Maybe they looked on in admiration. And dear friends, the world should look on in admiration at the church when it sees it availing itself of this gracious provision of the Lord. And yet instead of looking on in admiration, they look on, as it were, with contempt. Look, they are satisfied with these meager elements. And why do they think like that? Because they know not the Lord, and they know not his gracious provision. You see, dear friends, with our master, with our greater Boaz, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But the yoke is not easy in the world. The master, as it were, like Pharaoh of old, says, get them to make their own bricks for their labour. But not our master. Why is his yoke easy? Why is his burden light? Because he is in the yoke with us. He carries it with us. He gives us the enablement. Provision of the bread and wine was a meal here that refreshed and reinvigorated the reaper in the heat of the day. That's where we read here, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. It was like a winey vinegar that reinvigorated. It refreshed the person who drank it. It woke them up, as it were. What for? He was refreshing his reapers in the heat of the day, that they may labour on. Dear saints, Christ has not only prepared for us bread and wine, but he has also blessed the bread and wine of his own table. You see, when Christ in the upper room broke, took that bread, blessed it, and broke it, that blessing that he placed upon his own ordinance is an efficacious blessing throughout the generations of the church. How do we know? He says, do this till I come. It is a blessing that has a desired effect upon the church, regardless of the age wherein they partake. They are a people blessed of the Lord because they obey his word. They avail themselves of this provision. An infinitely greater provision in the infinitely greater Boaz. But thirdly, avail yourself of this fellowship in grace. Avail yourself of this fellowship in grace. Look at our text again. We read, and she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat. He. Who is the he that reached her the parched corn? It was Boaz himself. Ruth would not only avail of this gracious provision, but would enjoy the fellowship of Boaz. She would enjoy the fellowship of our kinsman redeemer. She knew him not yet as her kinsman redeemer, but she would come to know him as such. And here she avails herself. Dear friends, this was greater than the provision itself. And so it is with us when we come to avail ourselves of this fellowship in grace. There is something greater than the provision itself. And it is Christ himself That is greater than the provision. Our fellowship with him is greater. The fact that Boaz ate with his servants tells us something about this man too. Although he was their master, he was one of them, as is indicated here in this familial gesture. It's a family gesture. He reached her parched corn. He saw himself as the head of this family. He was the head of this table. He was not out with of them. He was not separated from them. He was one of them. And dear friends, is our kinsman redeemer not one of us? Is he not our elder brother? Is he not one who remains in our nature still? He is the God-man redeemer. He has redeemed us with his own blood. Dear saints, Boaz was present at his own table, and so is Christ. Christ not only says to us, come thou hither, and leave us to ourselves. Christ says to us, come thou hither, and he himself is the one with whom we fellowship at that table. Spiritually present by his word and sacrament. That's how he's spiritually present with us. Really present. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not some, as it were, superstition or spiritualizing of the thing. He is really present spiritually in his word and sacrament with his people. He does not invite his beloved ones to come hither and then leave them bereft of his blessed presence. What an awful thing that would be if he was to tell us to come hither and yet not be there himself. What does he say to us? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What does he say to us? I am with thee always. Further to this, we note that Boaz himself reached to her. She did not receive the bread from another reaper, but it was the hand of the kinsman redeemer himself. What is this? It is an affectionate gesture that sealed to Ruth that she belonged at this table of fellowship. It sealed it to her. She was no longer a stranger, but she was part of this man's family in a sense. And so it is with Christ, dear friends, through his ministers. That's what you ought to do. When you hear the word preached, you ought to strive in faith to hear the voice of Christ. You know, our fathers of old often said that when a minister preaches unto a congregation, if that preaching is accompanied by the Spirit of God and is faithful to God's word, it is as if Christ himself preached to the congregation. And so it is at the Lord's table. Look beyond the minister's hand that breaks the bread. He's only an instrument. He's only a servant. Look beyond his hands and see the hands of Christ break the bread for you. I'm not spiritualizing these things, but this is a truth. He himself reaches us the bread. Look beyond any man and see Christ. How do we know this? Well, we read in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. The Lord of peace himself, it's emphatic, give you peace always by all means. Here is a means, the provision of his table. and the Lord Christ himself will give you peace by this means. His hand will reach to you the bread. His hand will reach to you the wine. It is all of Christ. Avail yourself of this fellowship and grace. One writer remarked, "We do not worship a far-off Savior. He is a God nigh at hand. We do not adore him as one who has gone away to heaven or who never can be approached, but is nigh us, in our mouth and in our heart." That's how we worship the Savior. He is nigh to us, in our nature still, by his Spirit. He revives us and keeps us. So avail yourself of this fellowship of grace. But fourthly and finally, avail yourself of this satisfying grace. Avail yourself of this satisfying grace. Verse 14 again, we read, "And she did eat and was sufficed and left." She did eat. She was satisfied. She was revived. And she left. Ruth, dear friends, was satisfied with the bounty of Boaz. She couldn't but be satisfied with this bounty. She was undeserving of this bounty. She was a stranger to this bounty. And by this gracious invitation, she availed. And what was the outcome? She was satisfied with this bounty. The hand of plenty extended to her did perfectly and sufficiently meet her great need. This was her great need. We see that there was even leftovers that she took with her. So she carried those leftovers home that night, also with that which she was able to reap. So not only did she have a bounty at the table, she carried the bounty with her as she left. And another enjoyed that bounty that she enjoyed. It met her great need. And dear friends, how can we say that a greater Boaz will not meet the great need of our souls? There is no need too great that the bounty of the greater Boaz cannot satisfy and cannot meet. Dear friends, you may say to yourself here in the pew, once again, "I am unworthy. I cannot come." Dear friends, I'm showing you here today, again, your great need. But even greater than your need, I'm showing you this great bounty that is available for you. Avail yourself of it. Will you regret taking of this bounty? No. Ask any other one who avails themselves of this bounty, who knows the greater Boaz. They will say unto you, "He satisfies." Great is the satisfaction that cometh from this Boaz. What can we learn from Ruth? Well, dear saints, we plainly see that she did not spurn or leave off this season of grace. She did not reject this gracious provision. She did not lose out in this fellowship with Boaz. Why would she? And why would we? Why would we leave such off when Christ says to us today, "Come thou hither"? Ruth not only sufficed but refreshed for the work. I want you to see this. She did not linger at the table. We read, "And was sufficed and left. We will not linger at the table. We cannot linger at the table. We come to the table. We partake at the table. But we also rise from the table, remember. But we rise from the table refreshed. We rise from the table satisfied, reinvigorated. We don't want to linger at the table. We go and walk with the Savior. We go and live the life that He has now strengthened us again to live in this world. We rise from the table looking to what? Looking beyond the table. Looking to glory itself. This satisfying grace, dear friends, is not tied to the table. But one, when one arises from the table, the grace of Christ will go with them in renewed and refreshed soul in union with Him. You say, well, how do we know that the grace of the table goes with us as we rise up from the table? Will I not be left to myself again as I leave the table? Will I not be vulnerable? Will I not be barren? What will I say to people when I tell them that I have went to the table of the Lord? Will I be left with nothing to say? Dear friends, not only does the grace of Christ go with you from the table, Christ Himself goes with you from the table. Remember, it is the life of God in the soul for the Christian. It is that life that is revived. We are in union with Him. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ? Nothing. Therefore, we are guaranteed that the gracious provision of the table is not tied to the table. As we go from the table, so our greater Boaz goes with us. Psalm 73 tells us that He leads us by our right hand, and He shall lead us home. Dear friends, it is a most dishonoring act of one of Christ's beloved ones not to avail themselves of this table. If this table has been provided for them, and they have been invited to this table by Christ and by providence, they ought to come. You may say, what do you mean by providence? Well, we have heard the command of Christ, come thou hither. He has spoke to us anew today. But He is also the governor of providence. And He has so providentially worked all things according to His own good and good pleasure and for His own glory, that this day you have in God's providence found yourself in God's house. So not only by His word, but by His providence, we ought to avail ourselves of this provision of grace. His word and providence bids you to come. Let us come. Let us avail ourselves. Dear friends, we cannot live as Christians independently from Christ and from His table. I'm sorry to say, but you cannot folly afar off. You may hear that said in our circles. He is a distant follower. He follows from afar off. Well, I tend to disagree with that statement. A Christian cannot follow independently from Jesus Christ. Why not? Because what does the word Christian mean? Out of Christ once. We cannot live independently from Christ and from His table. If you know Christ and you know your heart is set on Christ, and maybe you have thought you've followed Him afar all these years, dear friends, take my word as a heed. Draw nigh. Come hither. Avail yourself of this table. Christ says to you, come thou hither. His bounty is great, for his bounty is himself. Dear friends, may you not only hear the call of Christ, but may you at his table see the hand of Christ for you. The hand of Christ. Our names are written upon the palms of his hands. And forget his people, he never will. Let us not forget him. Let us come hither in remembrance of him. Well, may the Lord add grace to this, his word preached. Let us pray.